गुड मॉर्निंग स्टूडेंट्स, माई सेल्फ पंकज नागर फ्रॉम पीजीटी फिजिक्स एटॉमिक एनर्जी सेंटर स्कूल इंदौर। टुडे वी विल डिस्कस द चैप्टर लॉज ऑफ मोशन। इन दिस चैप्टर द फर्स्ट टॉपिक वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस दैट इज एरिस्टोटलियन लॉ। एज पर द एरिस्टोटल, एन एक्सटर्नल फोर्स मस्ट बी रिक्वायर्ड टू कीप अ बॉडी इन मोशन, बट दिस theory of Aristotle is proved wrong by Galileo. Galileo says the external force were necessary to counter the opposing force of friction to keep the body in uniform motion. If there were no friction, then no external force would be needed to maintain the state of motion of a body. That means the force is only required to change the state of a motion. If no force is applied on the body, it will continue its state of uniform motion. From this concept, Galileo gives its law of inertia. As per the law of inertia, if the net external force is zero, a body at rest continue to remain at rest, and a body in motion continue to move in a uniform velocity. And this property of body is called inertia, as inertia means no change or resistance to change. So that means if no external force is acting on a body, it will continue its state of rest or a state of motion. After Galileo, Newton gives its laws of motion, and Newton's first law of motion is the same as that of Galileo's law of inertia. As per the Newton, every body continue to be in the state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line unless compelled by some external force to act otherwise. That means if no external forces act on a body, the body will not change its state of rest or motion. The state of rest or uniform linear motion both imply zero acceleration. That means zero acceleration does not mean that body is in the state of rest. Zero acceleration means body may be either in the state of rest or it is moving with a uniform motion. The first law of motion can therefore simply express as if the net external force on a body is zero, its acceleration is zero. And acceleration can be non-zero only if a net external force acts on a body. We will discuss one example of Newton's first law of motion. That means, suppose that we are standing in a stationary bus and driver starts the bus suddenly and we get thrown backward with a jerk. Why? The explanation is our feet are in touch with the floor. That we are, when we are standing in the bus, our feet are in the contact with floor. If there were no friction, we would remain where we were, while the floor of the bus would simply slip forward under our feet and back of the bus would hit us. If there is no friction, then bus will move along the forward direction and we will remain in its position and we will hit the back side of the bus. However, fortunately, there is some friction between the feet and the floor. If the start is not sudden, that is the acceleration is moderate, the frictional force would be enough to accelerate our feet along with the bus. But our body is not strictly as rigid, it is deformable, that is, it allows some relative displacement between the different parts. What this means is that while our feet goes with the bus, the rest of body remains where it is due to inertia. Relative to bus, there we are thrown backward. As soon as that happen, however, the muscular force of the rest of the body come into play to move the body along with the bus, and this appears that we get the jerk along the backward direction. Now, next topic we will discuss, that is the linear momentum. That means momentum of a body is defined as the product of mass and velocity of the body, and it is denoted by small p. And that means P is equal to M into V, and M is the mass and V is the velocity. Momentum is a vector quantity, and the direction of momentum is same as that of the direction of velocity, that means direction of motion of the body. Some of the common examples of this, suppose a lightweight vehicle and heavyweight vehicle are parked on a horizontal road, we all know that much greater force needed to push the truck than the car to bring them to the same speed in the same time. Similarly, a greater opposing force is required to stop a heavy body than a light body in the same time if they were moving with the same speed. So that is that a heavy body having greater mass and greater force is required to make the body move or to stop the body. If two stones, one light and another heavy, are dropped from the top of the building, a person on the ground will find it easier to catch the light stone than the heavy stone. The mass of body is thus an important parameter that determines the effect of force. That means here the mass of the body is a very important parameter. Greater is the mass, greater is the force required to stop or to cease the motion of the body. Speed is another important parameter to consider. A bullet fired by the gun can easily pierce a human tissue before it stops, resulting in casualty. The same bullet fired with a moderate speed will not cause much damage. Thus, for a given mass, the greater the speed, greater is the opposing force needed to stop the body in a certain time. Taken together, the product of mass and velocity, that is momentum, is evidently a relative relevant variable of the motion, and the greater the change in momentum the given time, greater is the force that keep to be applied. That means the observation confirms that the product of mass and velocity is the basic to find the force on a motion. Suppose a fixed force is applied for the certain interval time on two bodies of different masses, initially at rest. The lighter body picks up a greater speed than the heavier body. That means same speed is force is applied on a lighter body and heavier body, the lighter body will get the more speed. However, at the end of the time interval, observation shows that the body acquires the same momentum. Thus, the same force of the same time causes the same change in momentum of different body. This is crucial clue to the second law of motion. Because the second law of motion, now we discuss the second law of motion, the rate of change of momentum of body is directly proportional to applied force, takes place in the direction of force act. Thus, if under the action of force F for a time delta t is small time interval, the velocity of body having mass small m changes from v to v plus delta v, that means delta v is the change in velocity. Then initial momentum is mv and final momentum is delta p is equal to m delta v. Then according to second law, the force is directly proportional to delta p by delta v, that is called the rate of change of momentum. Here we apply the constant of proportionality k, then f is equal to k delta p by delta t. If we take the limit delta t approaches 0, that means delta t is taken to be infinitesimally small, then we can represent f is equal to k dp by dt. And p is the momentum, it can be substituted to m into v, that means dp by dt is equal to ddt of mv. M is a constant, it can be put out, so therefore it becomes dv by dt, and dv by dt is rate of change of velocity, that is acceleration. Therefore that formula becomes f is equal to km into a, and the units of force are so chosen that the value of k is 1. So therefore f become equal to m into a, that is force is equal to the product of mass and acceleration. That means greater is the force acting on a body, it will accelerate more. Next, we will discuss impulse. The product of force and time. What impulse is? It is the product of force and time, and which is the change in momentum of the body remains a measurable quantity. That means impulse is also equal to the change in momentum. The greater is the change in momentum, greater is the force applied, and F is the force, and the delta T is the time up to which the force is acting on a body. Next is the Newton's third law of motion. That is, to every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. The term action and reaction in a third law means nothing else but force. Using different term for the same physical concept can sometimes be confusing. A simple and clear way of stating the third law of motion: force always occurs in pair. Force on a body A by B is equal to the opposite to the force on a body B by A. That means if two bodies are there, one body is A and another is B, so whatever will be the force applied by body A on B, the similar force is applied by body B on A. The term action and reaction in the third law give wrong impression that action comes before reaction, that is, action is the cause and reaction is the effect. So there is no cause effect relation is implied in the third law. The force on A by B and force on B by A act at the same instant by the same reasoning. And next, the action and reaction pair forces act on a different bodies, not on the same body. Consider the pair of the body A and B, then FAB is equal to minus FBA. The minus sign is there because the direction of the action and reaction are opposite to each other, having the opposite direction. Thank you. That's all for this module.